Okay. This is Covenant Condition Restrictions Committee meeting, Monday, February 3rd, 2025. It is now 5:33 p.m. and I'm calling the meeting to order. Would Jim do a roll call, please?
Yes. Roll call. Current Chair Doug.
Present.
Director Gilchrist.
Present.
Director Israel.
Present.
Community member Candace Hill-Cowell.
Present.
And community member Terry Eastwood is absent.
Right. Okay, thank you so much. The public testimony will be received on each agenda item at its call. The principal party on each side of an issue is allocated 10 minutes to speak. Individual comments are limited to 3 minutes, except with the consent of the committee. Individuals shall be allowed to speak on an item only once. Members of the audience are asked to volunteer their name before addressing the committee reserves the right to waive said rules by a majority vote. The first item on the agenda is approval of the agenda. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
I motion to approve.
I'll second.
Jim?
I will just make that note that you and I discussed. Okay. The board members have been assigned and vetted through the board meeting on this committee. However, the community members have not. So these were the assigned names I put on the agenda.
Okay.
You'll just have to double check through protocol if I was supposed to do that now or next month.
So the agenda that we have in front of it requires correction, and that is the members, part of the committee is not, other than the directors, the other members are not fully appointed, so we are just serving in the old capacity. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have any objection to that correction? If not, those in favor of approving the agenda with that correction, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay. The agenda as presented with the correction is approved. Second item, approval of conformed agenda. Conformed agenda, CCNR meeting, January 6, 2025. Do we have a motion to approve the conformed agenda from January 6th?
I'll move to approve the conformed agenda from January 6th as presented.
Do we have a second?
I second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the conformed agenda from January 6th. Any questions, comments, corrections? Hearing none, we'll take a vote. Those in favor of approving the conformed agenda, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay. The conformed agenda is approved from January 6th, 2025. Next item, open forum. The member of the public may speak on any item not on the agenda that falls within the responsibilities of the committee. Do we have a member from the audience wishing to speak, sir?
It was awkward being the only person.
It's a very good thing when we're like in the audience. That's
why you get all the attention, sir. Well, hearing none, then I'll move on to the next item. Jim? Nomination of the committee chair and vice chair. We're going to defer this particular item since we have not been appointed officially. We are not able to take a vote on this matter. We'll move on to item number 4. Welcome back. Tutorial about role of CCNR committee members.
All right. First of all, thank you for, again, I did my thank yous last time, so I'll make that quick. Thank you again for serving last year, and we'll do our best to make sure you guys are still with us next month and for the remainder of 2025. What we're going to do real quickly here, most of you were here for last year's orientation. I'm going to run through that really quick. You have your handbook there, and the handbook There's a couple of things I'll probably touch on as we go through this little tutorial. And you can take these handbooks home to review at home.
Is the handbook attached to our agenda?
No, it is not.
Can you get that attached to the minutes?
And then repost it?
Well, the minutes.
Okay.
As part of a presentation, as part of the meeting.
And so, I don't know who our board clerk is to do that.
Well, you'll have to find out.
Yeah.
Liz Reisman.
Yeah. So I'll see what I can do to communicate with her, because I don't have an open line of communication, but I'll find out and have that attached.
Just, you're presenting it, so it should be attached.
Okay. Attach handbook. Okay. So, this is kind of a good way to work through this. Current district staff for CCNR is, as you see there, this will change. What are CCNRs? Covenants, conditions, and some restrictions. CCNRs are the rules of our neighborhood that describe the requirements and limitations about what we can do with our property. The goal of the CCNRs is to protect, preserve, and enhance property values in the community. It's a recorded document that runs with the land. So we have a couple of our old CCNRs out there that are somewhat illegible. And I've gone through with legal in order to reissue those. But all of our CCNRs have a time period, and then they renew themselves for 10 to 15 year periods. So they never run out. They can be amended, but they never run out. CPCSD and Cameron Park homeowners, these are who the agreements are with the homeowners, buyer and seller, and the property owners within the subdivision. So as the development is being built, like we have with Silver Springs, just finished off phase one, we have phase two and three also coming. As those are being developed, the declarant is what you'll read in the CCNRs. The declarant is the developer. So the developer holds all the rights over that property until the last lot is sold. The current phase one has not been turned over to the Cameron Park CCNRs yet. It has to be recorded and released by the developer in the recorder's office before we take over that liability. We are, however, in Silver Springs already running the ARC because the county's required. So that's an example of that. In 1996 is when Cameron Park, all the residents decided that they needed to have their own CCNR department. I think this is also the same period that happened with El Rock Hills. Originally, CCNRs were being managed by the county, just like in some other cities, Rancho Cordova, for example, the CCNRs are managed by the police department. So in 1986, these rolled over to the CPCSD. And the CPCSD works to assist property owners in attaining compliance with their CCNRs. A lot of you guys know that we've been doing a lot of educational program over the last year with a few of the campaigns, which we have found to be extremely helpful. It's even improved our ARC applications coming in. Okay, so the violation process. And I think I gave, well, I'll bring it up. The violation process is complaints can come in via email through our complaint system on our website, or they can come in by phone. Public's really starting to learn that they can do this in writing online. And it gives me a receipt, something I can put in the file that shows proof that there was complaints on the property. First notice of violation is made to the property owner. This is in a form of we call it a courtesy notice. A courtesy notice can be of a number of different things. It can be the written courtesy notice. It can be the neighborhood campaign notice that we send out. It can even be the door hang. If we have a serious issue that we're trying to knock on the door and we don't reach anybody, I do have door hangs, and I can write that up and let them know that we're contacting them about. So it goes from courtesy notice. First notice of violation is now your initial notice. That's when it's no longer just a, hey, help us out. We now it goes down as a certified violation. Final notice is mailed to the owner from the CCNR office. And then pre-legal notice is sent via certified mail to the owner. So in all of these stages coming down to here, we work out of our office up to final notice. Once we've exceeded final notice, we bring that pre-legal to the CCNR committee. You guys review the case with us, which we have today. We'll give you a good opportunity to see how that works. Pre-legal notice. There's actually two steps to pre-legal. One of them is going to be the pre-legal notice that we sent via certified mail. The next pre-legal is also something that can be approved here by the committee, and that is to have our legal counsel write up their pre-legal notice. And then there's a third, which is a bait or quit. I've only gotten to it once in 3 years. However, usually off of that first pre-legal notice from our legal counsel, either they come and contact us, come to a meeting, or they fix the problem.
Well, when you say our legal counsel, is that Jason?
No. We have short name Chronic Law down out of Sacramento. Okay. They specialize in CCRs. And we just brought them on board about a year and a half ago with a request from Mr. Epperson to find a different attorney for our CCRs. Beyond that, if we ever have to get into legal, that's where we got to punt it up to our board of directors, because now it's going to be a little bit more costly. Actually, probably a lot more costly. Our letters that we get sent from the lawyer usually are right around the $400 mark. So I need to make something clear here, because we did have a mishap happen last year. Bobby knew about it. We did send out a pre-legal notice. It was... You guys, this committee approved that pre-legal notice. Then this committee approved the pre-legal notice to come from legal counsel. Evidently, that owner called in, talked to somebody here, felt that they were told not to worry about it, and then I got a call from legal saying, hey, why is the CSD telling us that this letter is blown off? That's not supposed to happen. If this committee votes to have that process done, if there's any call that comes in regarding that legal document that was sent to them, I'm telling the board this, staff members here need to take a note and get it to me. And then I'll take that call or I'll bring it to that committee. But as a committee ruling, it cannot be objected by any staff member here. So.
Okay.
And then that goes up to the board of directors. We have not gotten to that case. We have gotten close. Some of you maybe remember the big shipping hauler that was on Cameron Park Drive at El Dorado Rodeo. That created quite a stink in this community, and we had to act fast, and we got that taken care of. So, also, there is a, because I'm only one person again now, there is a level of priorities. Mm-hmm. So calls about trash cans being left on the street, that's one of those things that El Dorado Disposal has an education department on, that I leave it up to El Dorado Disposal to educate our residents about where their cans are supposed to be stored. But the simple stuff, other than, you might think the passenger car parking on streets, if streets don't allow passenger car parking, might be a little thing. And honestly, it kind of is. But when we get into certain streets, like over here at Crazy Horse, and they're all out on the street on that main drag, that first entry, or towards the back, it clogs up really bad. So when I get these parking things, I won't just send a notice out to one individual resident, because one, I don't know who that car belongs to. I'll send it out to the whole area. I'll send one letter and blanket the whole area. So our more serious violations, what I look at out there are our trailers, our materials, our trash piles, stuff like that. These are easy things to abate for both us and for the resident, and it's probably the biggest item of light when you have trailers out and trash out and building materials out. Building materials will kind of look away for a while, but we'll keep monitoring them. If they're out there for a long period of time, we will ask them to clean it up. Okay, any questions on the enforcement process here?
No.
No, not right now. You may have some later, but there is this stuff in here that kind of goes over that. Now, the other thing that I wanted to bring up that kind of goes along with this. This is important. It doesn't seem like it would be that important, but I really am concerned about making sure you guys stay safe from this community. So, the service of the committee member is to attend and review and advise the staff regarding the case and files work being done by staff to improve our community and educate the residents. It is in the best interest of our committee members to turn in complaints to the CCNR department as required through our website. It's the best way for me. The other side is, we would like to remind you all, when you're out there in your communities, if you see something that is a blatant violation, please report it to us. Don't engage. I don't want you end up being somebody that's targeted in your own community as a complaint person or something like that. We have lots of dog walkers. I get a lot of the complaints. Oftentimes you guys find that if you send me a complaint, I already know about it. But it's just really important to me to let me do the contact with the residents. Go in and knock on the door or face to face. Stay friendly in your neighborhood. Don't get in any kind of trouble with that. Put all that responsibility on me. I'll take care of it. So it's fine to patrol your neighborhood, make a note, and send in a violation notice. But going up to the resident and saying you can't do that, not a good idea. Okay? So, and I think Cameron Park CSD does not have the authority to amend, change, or revoke the CCNRs. That is for the residents. They own the CCNRs. We have had amendments. A good example is Air Park Estates. When I was raised here, I've been here since 78, Air Park Estates did not have any trailers or anything out in their frontages. They made an amendment to their CCNRs to allow trailers to be allowed if they were 50% screened. What's that mean? Pull it up anywhere alongside your house or in the frontage, 50% of it screened. So now that's why we have a lot of trailers out there. So we don't have a lot of CCNR violation work that we do anymore in Air Park Estates. We do manage all the ARC. As far as street issues, extended height stuff, now the airport manages a lot of that because that comes under a flight code. So we had a big meeting with the Air Park and the community over there. Their feeling was, yeah, we'll take care of our own trailers and stuff like that.
So they have their own community services district solution.
The Air Park does, but it only has the jurisdiction on the runway and the streets.
Oh.
Yes. Yes, but they do. You're right. They do have their own organization. Dominic's the manager over there, so whenever I need to have something taken care of, I usually go directly to him. And he's got a little bit more power to get some of those things fixed. So, review applications. This is for architectural review. So you are still the overseeing committee of the ARC committee. Review application and plans for exterior home improvements. These applications come in, I will first check them before it gets to the committee for the simple stuff of setbacks and stuff like that. If there are setback issues, I will send it back to the developer or the applicant and ask them to adjust those setbacks. Most of what comes to ARC committee is approval, and because that's part of our job, making sure they have all their documents in order. The purpose is to ensure compliance with the CCNRs. The committee currently meets every other Tuesday morning at 8:30 a.m. It used to be weekly. Weekly was just a little too much. We do have the power to do roofs, solar, and trees once a week because those are very standard items in our community, and there's only like three communities that have specific stipulations on roofs. So every other week we meet for ARC. That will be tomorrow. Tuesday morning is our next meeting. Currently, a member, the committee members are Jeff Huerman, Don Clayson, Kathy Markin, and then, of course, myself as staff. And so all of these above are ARC-required items. We do not have jurisdiction on driveways. For driveways, that runs entirely through ARC, or excuse me, through the county. Same thing with retaining walls that are exceed, I believe, 4 feet for engineering purposes. That, again, is run through county. But the main reason for driveways is because easements vary, and they vary from neighborhood to neighborhood. And if they pour concrete all the way up to the street and they're covered in easement, that's on the owner's responsibility to pay for the repairs if the county has to dig it up. If it's asphalt, as required over that easement, the county will do the repairs after they've done it. So remember that if anybody ever wants to do their driveways, make sure you check with the county and don't run that concrete all the way to the street.
You don't need solar review for ARC?
I'm finding that the county is not sending the solar reviews down to us. And,
okay.
And when I looked into this a little bit further, talking with their code enforcement department, solar is now being seen as a utility item.
Okay.
Like PG&E.
Right.
So their viewpoint, as well as it being a new standard in code for California, is just go ahead and put them on. So far, we have not, we've only approved one solar field. Typically, they're always on the roof. If they're, I've had requests for them in people's backyards, but I've kind of warned against it because of, one, the use of their property when it comes to a sale, and two, it might be something that they catch complaints from their neighbors. So the only one we've approved is actually all the way at the back of Fairway Drive in Air Park Estates up against the bank. They will never have a neighbor. So that's the only one we approved. We pretty much run almost everything through here. There's a lot of our neighborhoods that do not have landscaping. We do have fences now are a part of this. And another funny thing from to you all, Cameron Park was never designed to have the intent of fences. So, again, growing up around here, nobody had fences unless they had a pool or a really vicious dog.
That's the way it is in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Having a fence is considered unfriendly.
It is.
Serious. When I went back there, I'm like, nobody has fences.
I think that's why state has a law that's a good neighbor policy.
Yeah.
We reviewed it. We reviewed the CC&R. The CC&R committee reviewed the fence guidelines, and the fire department reviewed the fence guidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody reviewed them. That's an example you can pass around if you want. But I put together fence guidelines because things were running amok, and I was getting nothing but domestic disputes coming to the door. So domestic disputes we can't touch. So we put these together. We recommended the good neighbor policy. We do not make it a mandatory one, but we have recommended it with the warning that you could face repercussions if you don't talk to your neighbors. So,
okay.
Any questions about ARC and fences and stuff like that? Nyla?
Cool. Quick question.
Yes,
In general, do you distribute this to the homeowners and public at large, this?
Whenever I'm called about a fence project, I make sure to get that in your hand. I started instituting site assistance program about 8 months ago. So I did get a lot of calls for coming out and looking at fence lines and working to put their fence line. So I come out with those. It's also posted on our website. It's like tagged at the top of ARC. But we can go up to 7 foot maximum.
Right.
And then, of course, it has to drop down to the 40 inches and open construction across the front.
I wasn't really referencing the fence itself. In general, I think you did a good job with the PowerPoint updating the government code. Here, it's not. So if the next revision or whatever, if you update the government code 61, it's in the article under authority.
And is this in our handbook?
It's in the,
yeah.
Right, the handbook, correct. I think your PowerPoint had the right
Did it?
Yeah.
Well, then, because that one's older. I just keep revising the years.
Really?
Manager,
oh,
yeah.
Well, maybe
so
it's...
Actually...
what is the right code, then?
I'll look it up.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
Just verify.
And that's on page... I just want to mark it.
61601.
Okay. So... There might be a conflict.
Your PowerPoint makes a reference saying that's the old code, this is the new code. So if you go to the first slide or the second slide.
Okay. No, good catch.
Maybe it's the...
Oh, there you go. Okay. That's in November codes, government code section, previously 61. Okay, I see that. Previously, and then it's now 6105. So we have them both.
Right, right.
So,
but in here, you just
have... So the next one, we'll update that. Thank you, Bob. Good catch.
Okay, the next item is you still, Jim. That's monthly staff report.
Okay.
Unless the committee has any questions about what he just presented.
All right, monthly staff report. So we had a lot of changes in the last 2 weeks in the CC&R department. I've been working on trying to catch up and get ready for this meeting, as well as I dropped our field guard. So we don't have anybody in the field right now except for and I've got a lot of catching up to do out there. So,
what?
He doesn't have that other guy that would
see.
Yeah.
You don't have Tim?
No.
So the board voted to eliminate that position.
I don't think that was a good idea.
We can always take another look at it down the road, but we've had to make some adjustments here to kind of capture our costs. So
yeah, the budget.
Balance our CC&R budget, and Tim,
which
was the extra money. I mean, that's what why we were up.
The nice thing is we're going to be in the black this year. It's going to be great to see, because since I came on board, we went from 20 to 11 to 9. It's been reducing, and our ARC is going to be up over 10 grand this year. We're already past the 20K mark, and our biggest number has been 26, so we're 7 months through, and we're almost to our halfway number. So we're projecting about 32,000 to 36,000.
That's good news.
That's going to help out a lot.
Yeah.
So with the monthly staff report, on CC&R open violations, we have 36 open violations. 8 of them are courtesy notice. 6 of them are initial notice. 4 of them are final notice. 2 of them are pre-legal, and 1 of them is referred to legal. The referred to legal is on hold because of that issue we had earlier in the year. So I'm going to keep that on hold until recreation season comes out and I can go out and take a look at that. Last month, we had 4 cleared cases, and we have 5 new cases. Those numbers are typically higher. So I hope to be getting out there in the field and figure out how to just kind of redo my time and make sure I'm out in the field a couple days a week. Any questions on the current CC&I violation caseload? There is a report in the back. We do number these. And do you have that, Katie? Have you seen that?
Yeah.
That grid thing?
Yep.
Okay. Those are the violations that have escalated. I usually do not put continue to monitor. I don't put complaint file. There's a lot of other stages that I don't bring to the committee because it's just not necessarily to a point where you do it. Architectural review projects for the period of December. Numbers are a little bit down. Things have slowed down a little bit. Thank goodness they didn't slow down in October like they usually do. So December was down from about 26 the previous month down to 19 cases reviewed and cases approved. A couple of them had to be kicked back. The committee kicked 2 of them back, and then we got that taken care of. Of those, we had 9 roofs, 1 solar, 2 fences, 3 swimming pools, 2 decks, 1 detached garage, and 1 retaining. So, applicants, we do make it easy for our applicants to come through for ARC. They can download the ARC application online. They can catch fence guidelines. They can pull out their CCNRs. I do encourage the public and contractors to contact me when looking up an address so I can advise them on what CCNR to review. The pool companies have been really good about this. Originally, when I came on board, the county was allowing the people to encroach with their pools up to 4 feet on the property line. Unfortunately, with undulated properties and storm drains, that's a very bad idea. So I brought all the pool contractors in here for a meeting and asked them to start adhering to our CC&R setbacks for the purpose of overflow or flooding, rains, that kind of stuff. So,
do most of our CC&Rs actually have that sort of language?
Yes, all of our CC&Rs, all of them have our setback requirements. There's a few, RJ Ranch in specific, and I think some of the Carousel neighborhoods which fall on the El Dorado County setbacks. So most of our setbacks in our communities are 30 feet from the front, 10 from the sides, and then it varies from the back because sometimes of the power easements, anywhere from 10 to 15 feet. County code is 20 from the front, 5 from the sides. And then the easement comes into play for the back setback.
So what happens if county approves the permit with their requirements?
They will not be able to. Whatever is most strict in the CC&R prevails. Mm-hmm. So it's not like El Dorado County prevails over the CSD. It's whatever in the written language, whatever is the most strict.
But if they did it in the past, what happens?
Currently, the process for the county is they will not issue a permit until they get our letter first.
Right.
So that
that's the present practice.
First, yeah.
Right.
And then those revisions go up to the county.
So whatever happened in the past, if the county approved it with the list.
Their grandfather.
That's what I'm asking. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Unfortunately, their grandfathered. And you know, some of them were built before the 1986 era as well.
Right.
So a lot of some of the sheds that you see out there that are 5 feet off the property line, a lot of those were approved before 86. If they were even approved.
Okay.
Right.
Any questions on ARC or process or anything like that?
No.
Believe me, we give our residents a lot of praise when they come through and do their diligence for ARC.
Sure.
Okay. That takes us to a pre-legal. Council pre-legal request. So this is along the lines of the way you were requesting this. I kind of put it in. I put it in there as a council pre-legal request also to go to our legal counsel. This is a case that we have visited numerous times, guys, and the resident was already here. So case number CCR 20-1053. This is on 3589 Castlebrook Road. Case is being reopened for the same trailer violation. The owner was at the last meeting in which they were served pre-legal notice from the CSD. The committee reviewed the process of violation with the owner. The violations do not reset after abatement, but they will reopen if the same violation appears. The owner understood this, cleared the violation for several months, and then the trailers are back and they've been out since 16. So, just to reiterate, if a violation, if it's been abated and cleared, they kind of give us, I get it now, and then that violation comes back, we reopen the case of where it left off. So we left off on this case at pre-legal, and we are now, bringing it back, and we're bringing it back to for you guys to make a decision on whether or not to go straight to council legal or to reissue pre-legal notice, and then if it's not a day to go to council, pre-legal.
The council is $400 for pre-legal, mm-hmm. whereas you will not, and as a second step, you'll move to, that's one of the options you're presenting. That you tried first, then that fails, then do council, or move directly to pre-legal. Well, it's up to the committee.
If I send a notice, it's just a reminder, hey, your case gets reopened back up. We talked to you about this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If I kind of feel it's a good idea to go ahead and research the pre-legal and see if we can get a payment that way to save our dollar.
Right.
But if it comes up...
He responded last time.
He showed up, too, yeah.
So I would think that's a reasonable approach, just because he was responsive last time. Resend it.
And we save $400.
Probably, yeah.
He's clearly not going to stop. He's not taking it seriously.
No.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I'm just looking at his picture. He's got a really long driveway, but...
Yeah, he parks it.
Oh.
Yeah.
These are multiple
projects. But they're multiple trailers.
Yeah, he had, as you can see in the photo, the last photo that I showed you, this one was on the street. It left after a while. He does work for one of the school districts, so he does occasionally have equipment that he comes home with. But sometimes it'll sit here for some time. But the recreational trailer, this trailer came out, this is actually a recent picture, but it came out during the holidays. There was some kind of a holiday party, and there was actually three of these in his driveway as they all stayed in the driveway for a couple of days. And then this just never got put away. So he's very much aware, as Mr. Israel said, but we get a lot of them. I mean, we also have the boat and the jet skis. They're all trailered items.
Yeah.
Trailered item is a specific item four in Cameron Park number one that says any trailer item must be behind a fence line, a train, or off-site.
So. Okay.
Actually, he talked to us about that while he was here.
Yeah.
One, his trailer court goes from here all the way up to Cameron Park Drive, so it's extremely deep. But it is on a slope. He asked us if he could maybe bang out some of his vegetation and put it in another trailer court. My response was you've got plenty of setback. Give me a call. I'll come out, help you measure it out, figure out, because I'll help him maximize it as much as he can get to store these things away. But he hasn't come through yet, so.
So you send a pre-legal, you say you have X number of days.
It's usually 10 days.
So I'll move that we authorize staff to send a pre-legal notice to where is it?
3589
Castleberry Club. Where is that? And authorize staff to send council legal notice if the resident does not respond within timelines provided in our standard notification.
Okay. We have a motion on the table. Do we have a second? And just so everybody knows, the motion is to authorize Jim to issue a pre-legal from the staff. And if the violation remains unabated after 10 days, to have the council issue a pre-legal notice, a legal notice.
Okay.
That's the motion.
Yes.
Do you have a second?
I second.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Any discussions, comments? If not, we'll move to take a vote. Those in favor, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay. The motion passes unanimously. Okay, Jim.
Thank you. You know, while we're on this case, I want to kind of give you guys a little bit of an idea of our database here. So this is a program that we run all of our ARC and CCNR through. We have both a CCNR violation side and we have an ARC side. So with our ARC side, it'll track all of our projects, what's coming in. These are all the new applications coming in for review and all. And then these are our violations. So when I'm creating a case, everything in here, one of the signs are numbers. And one of the things we did on our report is we have assigned actually this open date is now in our reports. So you'll see a lot of these, like the case we just reviewed, that was opened up in 2020. So oftentimes they take years to really hit home. So these, each are cases, once they're cleared, they go in the background, mm-hmm. but they're always in that database, in the cloud. We run this off of the county GIS. So twice a year, I contact the county. The county sends me a new GIS. I only have the funding to update the GIS in this one once a year. It's a $500 fee to do a second update. I think things have slowed down in the sales market, so it hasn't been so much trouble. But during COVID, I really needed those twice a year. The houses were changing out a lot. So these cases allow me to propagate all this information based off the GIS. It tells me the subdivision, the fire district, the acreage of the lot, the number of the lot, the year built, everything. And then from there, I've got all my contact information and all my photo documentation of a site, and then also our notes and history. So I am a note taker. I have learned in my career that he with the best notes wins. With the most and the best notes wins. So everything that comes in on a case, be it ARC or CCNR, even if they're updating something and saying, oh, it's just chicken scratch, I say, I don't care, I want that in the file. So if I'm not here, someone can look it up and understand everything that's going on with that case. So you get a lot of information from this, and it never goes away. This one doesn't have a lot of notes because it's a more recent case, but you get down into some of the older ones, like the one we just reviewed, or that has a lot going on, you'll see a lot of notes and history. I just keep notes of reopening case, closing case, for whatever reasons. You'll see a note that'll say reopen if it comes back. Been doing this job long enough, I have an idea of which ones are going to come back. Okay. So that kind of, I've never really reviewed this operational system with you all, but 9 times out of 10 you ask me something on a project, I can get you that information in about 10 minutes. In almost every case, to request information off of this system requires a records request. Okay, so I just don't hand them out to anybody that wants to come in and ask. We do require records.
You mean PRAR, public records.
And we also omit any names or contacts.
Redacted report.
Okay. Thank you for the time on that. I thought it was a good idea to share that with you.
Thank you, Jim. Okay, item 7, for future CCNR committee agendas.
I was going to say, we already know one of them that I need to communicate with Dawn, and we need to vet the two committees so we can get that on.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for going to the directors.
Right.
I was just going to ask you to agendize an item for our next meeting, to talk about what your priorities are moving forward with your reduced staff. So how much effort are you going to put into, say, neighborhood campaigns, which are more educational in nature, versus enforcement? And how are you going to budget your time?
Yeah.
Because that'll tell us a lot about what we're going to see. So I think that might be a, especially with new leadership happening within the district.
No, I agree. And that's one of the things I didn't want to bring to this meeting also, but time restrictions, but it's a good idea. So I'll kind of evaluate over the next month what I've got going on. I can give you a little bits and pieces, but it wouldn't make sense right now, so I'll agendize that.
Yeah, no, it'd be appropriate to have it agendized, so.
And the policy says that the board president will appoint and publicly announce to the board members and the community. So I don't know, it has to come to the board meeting. It has to go to Don.
I think Don just needs to officially announce it.
Yeah. That's pretty much all. It just has to be in the minutes.
Yeah.
That's it.
So.
And is item 8. Items taken to the board of directors, is that kind of the same thing we just talked about? Or is that a different item?
I think so. I think we need to make sure that Don recognizes our community right. members on the committee right. so we're all official.
Right. You want to be official.
I don't think we've voted.
No, it wasn't a vote. Yeah. The you're right. The president typically... In some years, especially COVID years, I had more people applying for it than I could get out of the house for something right. else to do. And it was a matter of juggling, too, because we also like to... ARC is kind of the starting spot, so we kind of like to roll them up into CCR and convince them to take on that challenge and educate them more. So usually there's that communication between the president and the future community members. Take their temperature, feel what they might be good at doing, and help assign that. So it's an assignment, yeah. Okay.
All right, matters to and from committee members and staff. I think Tim just mentioned one item.
Forward to another exciting year here at CCNR.
Yay! All right,
Did we have something that matters to and from committee members and staff? I kind of...
Do you have anything?
Most of this meeting was all staff to community members. Yeah. Orientation.
I think we're good.
Yeah.
Okay. And with that you requested on the agenda, that's also where I'll bring our list of priorities. It's also another way that was put together each time. So we'll bring that into the next meeting as well.
Well,
that's it.
Any comments, last minute comment to staff or anyone else?
I'll move to adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
It's been moved that this meeting is now adjourned. It is now 6:20.
Thank you very much, y'all. Yeah. Have a great evening, and Cameron Park, you stay special.